You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Off the Rails show on the Earn 5-Star Podcast. I'm your host Joshua Voles, site manager, emperor, supreme warlord, and defender of the faith over at onefootdown.com. And I'm coming to you tonight, hopefully for your Saturday morning choring, because I missed the other night with Jude and Brendan. Unfortunately, a new life schedule has smacked me upside the face. Which makes pod scheduling a lot more difficult moving forward. So still dealing with all that, but hopefully we'll be able to you shouldn't feel the effect of it too much. But that's not what I'm on here tonight for. It was a good thing that I missed, because then that kind of puts a fire up my ass about getting on the mic and speaking my piece. It's transfer portal season. Like, if you didn't know, like, it, I said it, I don't know if it was last year, maybe 2 years ago, kind of like a half-assed prediction about how important the transfer portal will be moving forward. And I spoke about, like, this is bigger than early signing day right now, as far as I'm concerned. Like, this is, it has such a massive, immediate impact on a college football team roster that the transfer portal is the big thing. You know, some of that's because signing day got split up into two, from the early signing day, and then in December, then you still got, the last one in February. But the transfer portal is just, it's huge right now. I don't know how many names have gone into the portal so far, but it's an astronomical number, and more are coming. And yes, you're going to see, like, some teams about half their roster flip over. It's just, I don't want to sell it as this is the new norm. Like, I'm not trying to just deal with it. I'm just telling you what it is. Whether you like it or not, this is what it is. So if you don't like it and you think this is ruining the game, okay. But, then you can stop watching anytime. Every time you put a cent into this, you're just feeding into what it is. We're not going back to the days of how it was in 2004, okay? Now, there may be some rule changes coming up that, limit things, or and they've already done that, in, you know, with the number of times, is what it's supposed to be anyways. But this is, this is the new norm in college football, is the transfer portal. And so the other night, the other day, I was thinking, all right, I'm gonna go on the mic and by myself. I won't have anything to bounce off of. I felt it was my duty to get on here to talk about, because I just kept seeing all these responses, and yes, most of it is, and this is my fault, because it's like my guilty pleasure is reading like Facebook comments from on the stories from on One Foot Down, and because there's just so many of them are just so awful. People are just so lost, clueless, wrong, emotional, flippant. It's just it's such a grab bag, toxic. It's worse than it is on Twitter, which I think, in that sense, like, our Twitter followers have been culled a little bit because of how I've operated the account over the past, shit, I don't even know, what is it, 7 years now. So it's that, those kind of people have kind of gone away mostly, whereas the Facebook one is just, it's a random mishmash. But this isn't a Twitter versus Facebook or really trying to, all that. I'm just saying that was where I kept seeing over and over and over and over and over again, comments that were kind of like, I took as inflammatory. Like, I kind of took offense to, I don't know, just how dumb some people are. And also just how, like, naive some people are. Which, in my worldview, dumb and naive are two completely different things. So that was originally what I had planned on coming on to talk about. And then more and more things started developing. And it's like, all right, so I'm going to have to talk about these and like this whole thing in like two different parts. Because the, how to explain this? One, they definitely are combined. They definitely are related. But one is significantly different in how it went about it. So let's first look at the what's going on with the Notre Dame wide receiver situation. One of the readers on the site was like, Joshua, make it make sense. Several times, several comments. And I'm going to try to. I don't know if I, and I said, like, I don't know if anyone's going to be really happy with how I try to make it make sense. I don't know if I'm going to give you what you want to help you out, but it's what I'm allowing myself to give you. All right. First of all, I want to say, first of all, I want to say, these things are not just, they don't get dropped on, most of these don't just get dropped on my laps or you know, others' laps. A lot of these names, I would say every name that Notre Dame has had in the portal since it opened, which, by the way, is, God, where are we at here? Was Nana Safamensa, Chris Tyree, Zeke Carell, Aiden Kiana, Tobias Merriweather, Braylon James, Ramon Henderson, Rico Flores, and Holden Stace. All these names have been discussed at some point or another on the back end of things. And I'm gonna probably use the word back end a lot. And what I mean by back end is other writers, other sources, other, you know, other contacts that I have, and they themselves and their sources and contacts and other writers they talk. I mean, it's a small world back there. All right. So none of these names are really new. And the reason you don't see me come running out with like big breaking news banners. It's because that's not what we do at One Foot Down. I've said that over and over for years. Like, that's not what I'm using my street cred for, is to be the breaking news guy. I like having the information for deep background. I like having it for to put stories in context, to explain things better. I'm not trying to be the first guy. And I get accused of that a lot. I really do. Because sometimes I'm pretty quick on the draw. But, and you know, every once in a while there'll be something that, so it wouldn't even be I alone. This isn't an area of journalism that I, you know, pursue wildly at One Foot Down, or have any of my writers really. You know, we are a commentary site, and I like it that way. We're not trying to do other people's, we're not pretending to be investigative journalists. You know, I use the word journalist with me pretty loosely, but I'm accredited media and have sources and contacts and have used those things in the past. And that is what it is. But when it comes to decisions like this, like guys going to the NFL, jumping the transfer portal, if you've noticed something, notice this. Every single one of these announcements was made first by the player themselves. A real writer slash journalist slash reporter slash media personality didn't come running to Twitter or to Instagram or to Facebook or to TikTok or just to their own story editor and publish a story before the kids could announce what their decision was. And everybody knew. There probably wasn't a single, I can't speak for everyone, but like I said, these were not surprises. So when I see like a douchebag fucking account on Twitter making some noise about doing victory laps because they were first about, I don't even know what fucking player, you're a fucking douchebag. You got the inside. You're the fucking rat, man. You're the mole. You're the piece of shit that gets news out there because you want people to think you're in the know. Cool. But you're not doing anything at all other than being a douchebag. You're a fucking waste. There isn't a single reporter on the beat that didn't have that shit before. No, doing a victory lap. You're doing a lap because you're a douchebag. And people should stop being douchebags. No, we're not. This is not how it's supposed to get. That's not how it's supposed to be done. Because in the end, it doesn't matter. It's all still happening. Being first about which player is leaving for the transfer portal is not some fucking career, you know, starting thing. No one's going to look back and be like, well, you know what? He said Braylon James was going into the portal 2 days before. That's a fucking, hire him. Hire him to that magical $35,000 a year starting position in this paper that's about to go under. Does it have to be at a douchebag spot? You couldn't survive online doing that. Just saying. Just a little advice. If you know some, you know, fucking idiot out there running around trying to drop info like they're in the know, they're a fucking idiot. Plain and simple. Anyways, but you know, hey, people are eating it up. That's on that. I mean, the info is the info. You got what you got. I, just like many of the beat reporters, choose to wait and let the kids announce. Sometimes I'll have a story pre-written, ready to go. Sometimes I don't even care to be that quick on it. It's not a big deal. Having the conversation about what happens now is far more important than the event itself. And that's, you know, that's what's important out there. sorry, went off on a rant. I saw some dumb thing and it irked me. It's like, what the fuck? So anyways, so let's talk about the wide receiver room. So again, this is something that there's a lot to the wide receiver transfer portal stuff that was not made public knowledge. And I think maybe there is some stuff leaking out now. I'm not sure what is and what isn't. So I'm really not going to speak to that too. Like, they're not going to have any real hardcore specifics there. Other than there was an obvious issue with Chancey Stuckey and a huge communication issue between Stuckey and Freeman. That caused some other issues. Now, of all the receivers that affected, but it was probably only Flores. You know, the guy, the communication issue between Freeman and Stuckey was probably, they probably not have a huge effect on Tobias Merriweather or Chris Tyree. The bigger effect for Tyree and maybe Merriweather was, what's this offense doing? What's next year going to look like? For Tyree, he's looking at like his what? His fourth quarterback? Fifth quarterback? You know, maybe, you know. And again, I don't fault these, you know, these guys are making decisions for themselves, for the future. It is what it is. I'm not here to really criticize that. But I'll say this. And again, I said people would be mad because I'm not going to divvy out all the details that I know. If there's some stuff out there, stuff out there. But on top of that, you know, we're not entitled to know everything. You know, the public, we're not entitled to know every detail of these kids' lives, even within the realm of the football program. You're just not. To think that you are is just like having all the information doesn't matter if you have no context. And to have the context, you kind of have to be in the shit. You have to be in the mix. So just getting some random tidbits about conversations or, you know, event here and there, that's not going to provide you with enough. And again, like I said, I don't feel that everyone is entitled to know every detail of not just the players, but of the coaches' lives. Now, there's obvious exceptions. Like, is there something illegal going on? Is there something shady as hell going on? Like, those are things that, that for sure, you know, fans, alumni, they deserve to know, you know, what's happening. But in the regular randomness of just like transferring and making decisions about, you know, going pro and all that, like a lot of that, you know, like recruiting's disgusting. The way what is evolved into, it just is because it's it could be fine, but there's just so many people out there that like think they're owed every small detail about some 16, 17 year old kid's life to figure out if they're going to go to their school or not. And it's wrong and stupid. And I applaud recruiting writers, A, for how hard they have to work, B, for the shit they have to put up with, and C, because I think a lot of them do a really good job of filtering out nonsense, like putting the nonsense in the back pocket, because not everybody needs to know everything. It's plain and simple. And like I said, that applies to the transfer portal and to those decisions that are being made. So yes, the wide receiver room, you could quote unquote toxic as fuck. I mean, I don't say normal, but these are the types of things that happen at college football programs. Unfortunately, it happened at Notre Dame, our program du jour. How toxic? Well, it wasn't abuse. You know, it was nothing like that, but it was the way that the room was ran. the communication between the position coach, the offensive coordinator, and the head coach. No more needs to be said about that. So it was toxic. So guys are bolting. And I'll say this. I want to give a mighty hearty handshake to Deion Colsey, who was a name weeks and weeks ago, was someone a lot of us have written off for the portal. And he's sticking around. He's got 2 years of eligibility left. I think he told tonight Mike Berardino had it. But, you know, he's staying another day. These were adding up. The wide receiver room was going berserker. And that's just, you know, that was an unfortunate set of events that was going to, it was going to distort my entire spiel I had about the transfer portal itself for people, which is still on its way. Wasn't planning on it being this podcast being that long, but once I get talking and Jude and Brendan aren't here to stop me. So anyways, so that's the wide receiver room. Again, you might be mad because you don't know all the details. And again, I don't think you need to know. I don't know all the details. I'm not trying to pretend that I know all the details either. I know enough. And I think that some of those are already out and about, and that's fine. But communication, like in marriage, is key. Toxic room. And when you get rid of a problem, just because you get rid of a problem doesn't make everything better. It's just like, what's it like, marriage and divorce. Just because it was a toxic marriage, getting divorced doesn't solve everything. You know, especially if you got kids, it still makes things tough. So anyway, and that's kind of how that room is. So if a player was upset because they liked Coach Stuckey and that he got fired and that's why they're leaving, then, you know, so be it. If a guy had already been so upset because of what Stuckey had done that he was leaving no matter what, then that's what happened. I mean, this was a time bomb. And you know, none of it worked out. And there's plenty of blame to go around. Coach Freeman's included. But there's no way to go back in time and change these things. And I don't know how much more tinkering that needs to be done. They're going to go out and hire a new wide receivers coach. Well, and that is going to be a ridiculously important hire. Like, stupidly important. As important as an offensive coordinator. I don't know. Maybe they should hire an offensive coordinator to coach wide receivers and move Jared Parker just back to tight ends full time. So, hey, you still have a job. That's just what I would like to see, but knowing that won't happen. But anyways, so that's that. You can be as mad as you want about it. And remember, you're asking about the bowl game and wide receivers. Yep. It is low. It is low numbers. You know, Jordan Faison, Caden Greathouse. I think it was tweeted out today that that Caleb Smith, Kiki Smith, is going to be available. Freshman hadn't played all season because of injury. This is what they're going to have to work with. When you don't make a playoff type game, the bowl game is just like, hey, no one cares, because they matter and then they don't matter. I mean, they matter a lot. Like, Marcus Freeman needs that 10th win. The Notre Dame football program needs that 10th win. But there's just so much to this that isn't good. I mean, how many we have not even got to the NFL announcements, guys leaving early for the NFL, and if they're going to play in the bowl game or not. Or guys that are already scheduled to be, like Maris Leofau, he's going to be playing in the Senior Bowl, right? Well, is he going to play in the bowl game? I didn't read anywhere one way or the other, but I would tend to say he probably won't. You know, we're waiting on word about Audric Estime. I doubt he plays in a bowl game. I said that last week. Love to see him do it. Don't get me wrong. I freaking love that kid. And I got a whole rant about Audric Estime and my love for him ready to go, which is a lot easier to rant than write. So maybe I'll do that when the time comes. But anyways, so we have no idea what this roster is going to look like anyways, not just wide receiver, but top to bottom. So now to the rest of it, to the rest of the whole portal, nonsense, but the stuff. Again, this is something that we're all going to have to get used to. And getting used to things doesn't mean that you're fighting it every time. I don't know if that's even a good way to say it, but I feel like people just need to be like, y'all need learned a little bit. Like, some people out there really need learned. First thing I want to say is, one of my biggest pet peeves when dropping a player is transferring or a player decommitted or whatever story, one of the worst comments is one of the most, passive-aggressive. And it's somebody taking the time to literally sit down and write, who? Who? Never heard of him. I've seen with the guys that Notre Dame has gone to the transfer portal already. I've seen that in places. Who? Never heard of him. And I don't know. I just find that completely disrespectful, belligerently disrespectful, fucking stupidly, ridiculously disrespectful. I hate that. And I think that maybe it was a comment like that that kind of set me off. I need to go talk about the portal. So let's get into that a little bit. And hopefully I'm not trying to make this an hour long. But like I said originally, the portal is becoming more and more as important as recruiting. Maybe more important in the way that you're structuring out your roster. So you just can't dismiss it, and you can't close your eyes and hope that you don't have guys leaving or complain when a coach brings it. It is part of our lives now. All right. It is a spring break tattoo in a prominent spot that you are going to have to explain to your children. Okay. So own it. Okay. One of the fun off-season questions that used to get talked about a lot, and still does here and there, but not as much as it used to be, is starting in the winter through the spring and the summer, but it's all right, who's this year's, insert Jonas Gray, who's this year's Javon McKinley, who is going to be the player that's been there for 3 or 4 years that finally does something, the four-star guy that just never did much on the field, never accomplished much. Who's going to have that breakout year? And we love that, right? We love the conversation. We love when it happens. But that isn't the only time their name's brought up. Over the course of those 3-4 years, their name is brought up all the time on message boards and comment sections and podcasts. Is this guy ever going to do anything? Is he going to leave? And then you have fans saying, it's a waste of a scholarship. All sorts of things. Disrespectful things, respectful things. Also, just all across the realm. So I think a great way to look at the transfer portal is like this. A lot of the guys, not all, a lot of the guys that go into the portal from Notre Dame will be guys that have not done a whole lot for the program. And this is why the Rigo Flores and Holden Stays thing kind of blew things up. And I realize Tyree is in that mix, but I think his situation is a little different anyways. But a lot of these guys are the guys that are just, they're looking for a fresh start. They're looking for opportunity. You know, they've been recruited over, or because that's the head coach's job. That is the coaching staff's job, is to field the best team possible through recruiting and through development and through, yes, the transfer portal. Their job each year is to field the best team they possibly can through those means. And in doing so, players that have not quite reached their potential, or for whatever reason have not performed at Notre Dame, there's not much of a spot for them. Now, no one's saying that they need to leave before they get their degree or any of that. I mean, I'm not trying to weed kids off of a roster. I'm not encouraging that. But if the kid, you know, after a sophomore year is like, man, there is a really rough path to playing time here, and I love it here, but I want to play some football. Like, I got these years of eligibility and I want to play. And I'm seeing, like, there's, you know, a number of programs I could go to. You know, maybe it was some school I looked at while I was getting recruited. You know, maybe it was my number two or my number four, or just some other random. But these places have opportunity right off the bat. More, a better opportunity than what Notre Dame has, because my path to playing time is so restricted here. And they bounce. That's good for them. I mean, players want to play, man. And people say, well, they're scared of competition, this and that. It has nothing to do with being scared of competition, but there is a reality involved where it is hard to go in day out, day in and day out, wanting to do the thing that you love, and you're restricted when you could go somewhere else and be unrestricted. And it doesn't make you any less of a person, any less of a man, any less of an athlete, any less of anything. You want to play, man. There's nothing wrong with just wanting to fucking play. You want to showcase your skills. Maybe you just think, if I could just get some more game action, I can. There's nothing wrong with what these kids are doing, in theory and in general. So the guys that, a lot of the guys that, you know, in the past where you'd have this big handful of names, like who's going to be this year's, you know, fifth year senior that all of a sudden, you know, excuse me, all of a sudden makes it, or, you know, the senior that just blows up in his last year, whatever it is. I think you're going to see a lot less of those. For sure. Because that's what the portal's there for. Is for them to get somewhere else earlier for that blow up. And then, I mean, Notre Dame does a good job of holding on to guys. Like they want kids to come here and get their degrees. And they get them pretty quickly. These are smart guys. You know, if you're enrolling early, so you have that semester plus your summer classes that you're taking while you're back on campus, they can roll through a bachelor's. I won't say easily, because it's a degree from Notre Dame. It's not an easy thing to get, but quickly, they put in the work, they can get it. So these guys are leaving with their Notre Dame degree in hand. That's like even more hats off to you. If you're not seeing the field and you have your Notre Dame degree in hand and you want to go somewhere else, buddy, I'll help you pack. And I'm not saying that in a way of like get out of town, but I'm like, I am happy for you. Congratulations. That is a huge accomplishment. And you still got to go play football somewhere for a couple years? Fantastic. That's so awesome. And that's where a lot of these guys are going to be doing. And Notre Dame has to jump into the portal and pull out players. And this is where it gets tricky, because Notre Dame has a stricter transfer policy than the other elite schools competing for national championships. It just is. They have to do it differently. We've been hearing that those some of those things are changing, and that's fine. I hope they do. But the skin of it is that Notre Dame wants a player, a person, if they're going to graduate from the University of Notre Dame with a University of Notre Dame degree, they want that degree to be mostly from Notre Dame classes. That's not a hard, concept for me to figure. And it's not a, I don't think it's a terrible thing to ask either, but it has become a roadblock in a lot of senses because you're looking for developed players in the portal, not projects, right? You had a project and he left. The projects are, you know, you need a developed player. And some of those guys are juniors, which means the majority of their degree would not be from Notre Dame. That's why, like, if a, you know, freshman transferred to Notre Dame, I mean, that's the whole point. Like, think about the first time you watched Rudy and they talked about Notre Dame does not take junior transfers, like for Holy Cross. It's because they want the degree to be mostly Notre Dame classes. So, like I said, it's not a hard concept to figure out. How they deal with that and how they change that, or moving forward, that's on them. But this is what we're dealing with right now. But the portal's blowing up. Like you have players galore going in there. So you have to button up and do your due diligence, and you're putting in your work. And you got to bring them in. So to that point, this debate about whether or not Notre Dame should bring in Riley Leonard, I don't see what the debate is. I don't see what the point of arguing it is. If he shows up on campus, is he the best quarterback on the team? Probably. So what are we doing? Why are you arguing? You're worried about development from guys that could bounce anyways? Oh, if you bring him here, you're going to have one or two transfer. Okay. Well, you need four quarterbacks going into spring. And you could argue back that, all right, he comes here, then you're still down to three quarterbacks, and I get that. But you can also offer somebody late in the recruiting process to come here. You're not going to get a portal quarterback to come here as a backup, most likely. Not when you can just go recruit one to go to be a backup. But I also don't think this is doing what people are afraid of. Like they're scaring away recruits. Like CJ Carr doesn't give a shit about Riley Leonard showing up this year. I don't think CJ Carr has any delusions about him coming in and being a starter as a freshman. Does it bother Steve Angeli? Probably. But do I think that's going to make Steve Angeli a better quarterback? Sure. I think he's a competitive guy. I think he'll use it to try to prove that he's the number one. I don't know how all that ends up working, right? You bring in a portal quarterback, you can call it a competition, but it's, you know, this is the guy. But you need to do whatever you can to put the best player on the field, the best quarterback on the field. And this is what Notre Dame's going to do with Riley Leonard. I don't see what the argument is. Now, Brennan and I, we've discussed this on the podcast before, we had reservations about Leonard during the season. You know, it wasn't just our normal Duke secretly sucks routine. We talked about, we weren't as impressed as what everybody was saying with Leonard in terms of, you know, of the passing game. Like we saw an average passer. You know, he's a good athlete. I love his size. He runs well. I like that part of his game a lot. But as a passer, like he wasn't that scary to me. Doesn't mean he can't get better. And it doesn't mean that that's not okay. Like, I think Notre Dame, like this year, like especially, like, God, this pod's going forever. It's only supposed to be like 15, 20 minutes. We could have had It would have been better off in the Ohio State game had we just handed the ball off to Audric Estime. Would have been better off in the Clemson game had we just handed the ball off to Audric Estime in the second half. Stuff like that. Like, this can be a power running team with a competent quarterback. I think the defense was good enough this year where you did not need Trevor Lawrence. Would have been nice, but did not need him. So anyways, but you bring a guy in to be the best player on the field that you possibly can. That's it. Period. And they're like, well, how do you keep recruiting? Well, you keep recruiting. You think any other school would be different? You think you want to field the best quarterback you possibly can. You're not going to scare away a senior quarter unless he's like flighty as hell. And then why do you want him anyways? By bringing in, you know, a transfer quarterback for a senior year. Prove them the next year that they don't need to hit the portal. But it's fine. There's not a real negative downside to bringing in Riley Leonard. There just isn't. Like, the person it hurts the most is Steve Angeli. And while it hurts Steve Angeli, and I feel bad about that because I like him, it also could be a big help because it'll drive him to be the best possible quarterback he can be. And then maybe he'll go be the best possible quarterback he can be somewhere else. Or maybe he has the balls to stick it out for the whole year and compete in 2025 to be the starting quarterback. With what? With 2 years of eligibility left after that? Right? Because he had a red shirt in 22. And so here's 23, yeah. So he'd have eligibility in 25 and 26. That's not a bad life. That used to be how it was anyways. I mean, you know, Bobby Bowden was big on that. Like quarterbacks, like, you wanted to start a red shirt junior quarterback, which in layman speak is a senior. You wanted a senior to have 2 years. That would be ideal. So this isn't off the rockers. But, like I said before, guys just want to play. So maybe Steve Angeli thinks that he'd be good enough to go somewhere else, and I couldn't say more good things about him to go do what he has to do for his career, for his happiness, for his family, whatever it is. It's these guys' decisions. Ugh. I probably had more than that, but I'm not going to keep yapping on. The main point, like with the wide receiver room, is yes, balls were dropped. Multiple balls were probably dropped, and communication was a problem. And we're not entitled to every bit of information. This hurts. And we'll just have to get in the portal and see what happens from there. There was a tweet I retweeted tonight that from Brad Crawford from 24/7. I don't know why he deleted it. Maybe there was he said something along the lines of like, on Monday, we'll see like these crazy amount of wide receivers in the portal. And I'm thinking like, all right, well, we really can't lose anymore. So this is great. And I quote tweeted like, hey, this is fantastic news for Notre Dame. We're, you know, we need wide receivers. So what's out there? But he ended up deleting that tweet shortly after I quote tweeted it. So maybe he was mistaken about which day or whatnot. I don't know, but I'm getting a lot of, what did he say? Well, that was what he said. So it's going to be an interesting transfer portal season. And the bowl game, man, it's like the last thing I'm worried about. Like, I want them to do well in whatever bowl game they're in, and we'll be, you know, focused on covering it and cheering the team on and the whole nine. But it's like the last, I'm more worried about next season. Like, next season. I'm not worried about 2025. I'm worried about 2024, which, you know, they still haven't announced the 12th team officially, even 12th opponent. Even though we're all sold that it was Army and Yankee Stadium, and I'm pretty sure it was, and Army's now trying to back out of that because they're joining Conference USA, or no, not Conference USA, they're joining the American, and they want to back out. So Notre Dame's going to have to find an opponent. Maybe that's Washington State and Oregon State. And or. I don't know. Anyways. And I just totally lost my train of thought. But that's fine. Yeah. And then don't worry about douchebag Twitter accounts that try to, like, run. They're running out there trying to act like they're fucking Pete Sampson. Or it's don't worry about that. That's just stupid. That's it. God, I can't believe I sat here for 45 minutes to talk about that. This was legit supposed to be 20 minutes. This is why the Earn 5-Star podcast run like 3 hours. We will, all three of us will collectively look up and it'll be like, oh, we're an hour and a half in. Cool, this might be done soon. And then we just keep jabbering on. The good news is I don't have anyone to bounce anything off of to keep talking about. So we can get this one short. So this is a cool, crisp 45 minutes. I hope that this was something that, I don't know if it eases your mind or if it answers some questions. I hope it didn't anger you. I wasn't trying to sell this as you're going to get all your questions answered. I said in the comment section on my own site, you're probably not going to like the answers. So maybe you don't. But I mean, what do you think you need to know to move on? And, like, realistically, like, somebody's probably screaming right now at me on the thing about Jared Parker and should be fired and all that. Like, I'm not disagreeing with this stuff. Like, I don't think Jared Parker should be the offensive coordinator either. But I don't have that hiring or firing power. I can't change the reality. And to talk about it incessantly like I can or this should happen, it just, like, seems pretty counterproductive. It just seems like a lot like whining and bitching. Which I can do with the best of them, for sure. But I also like to have more fun, like trying to figure out what's going to happen next. And I think that's where I'm at right now. Just want to see what's happening next. For sure, we're going to see probably a couple more transfer portal jumpers. You're going to get your NFL jumpers, and you're going to get your bowl game sitters, and. It's nothing's going to feel like a win. So we should have gotten to the, we should have had a better season and been in the playoff. And we wouldn't have to deal with a lot of this, but that's not what happened. This is what happens. So now it's just about moving forward and seeing what happens. And we will comment the hell out of all of it. So hopefully this helped out your Saturday morning chorn. And, just remember, get on over to Apple Podcasts, leave that rating, leave a review. Any review that you leave, we will read word for word on the next Earn 5-Star podcast. Should have another one up sometime in the middle of next week. When the boys go on themselves without me, they don't read the reviews because they really like, they want to make sure that I do it, I guess. I don't know. There used to be, for a while, it seemed like there was a lot of them that were geared towards making sure I said something in particular. So, middle of next week, we'll probably have another one. So if you got something you need to say, put it in those ratings. You can email me too, and I'll get to all that on the pod about, if you guys got, comments you want to make and don't want to use Apple Podcasts, various ways that, we can go about that. The off season's coming. We will definitely have off season content. That's what we're best at anyways. But I definitely think a huge Q&A, one that was supposed to happen during the bye week, is on its way. Not exactly sure when, but with recruiting, the bowls, the whole nine, we'll get to it all. We'll get to all of it. We'll party together, man. We'll hang. We'll fucking hang. So just want to thank all of y'all for taking the time to listen. And as always, go Irish.